This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
The first number on this wall ride program on the Grand Ole Opry will be Little Maggie. Bill and Earl will do it.
Come along and join Lisanne DuPont at the legendary Ryman Auditorium. Revered as the mother church of country music, the Ryman has been an anchor of the Nashville music scene for more than a century. The Grand Ole Opry moved into the Ryman back in 1943, and it broadcast weekly shows across the airwaves on WSM 650 AM radio. Even though the Opry outgrew the Ryman in the 1970s, the legendary show returns for winter broadcasts every November through January. From Hank Williams to Flattin' Scruggs, Chet Atkins, Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, Johnny Cash, to Patsy Cline and Bob Hope, the list of luminaries who have performed at the Ryman, a National Historic Landmark, is a literal who's who of the American music scene.
Flattin' Scruggs Grand Ole Opry Show, brought to you by Martha White Mills, millers of Martha White Hot Rise Flour, cornmeal and cake mixes, and pet milk.
Lisa Ann DuPont at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. This is like Mecca. This really is. This is cool.
Yeah, it's the coolest.
Let's go back in time, the history of the Ryman. It's been a part, an integral part of Nashville.
We're sitting here right now in the pews on our lower level, and if you look around, everyone says, well, it looks like a church. Well, it's because the building did open as a church originally. So in 1892, it opened as the Union Gospel Tabernacle. It remained under that name until about 1904, when Tom Ryman, who was the man that built this beautiful building for us, passed away. And actually, at his funeral, right there, I mean, I could see the spot from here, the preacher stood up and asked, you know, does everyone think that this building should be renamed in Captain Tom's honor? And about 4,000 people stood up.
Wow.
So it gives me chills every time because it happened right there. So it is now the Ryman Auditorium.
From the turn of the 20th century, the beginning, all the way through most of the 20th, tell us about some of the incredible performers who came and performed here, even the early days of the 20th century.
Yeah, there's some really interesting performers in those early days. And if you think of this place, has really always been, and I hope will continue to be for the next 125 years, a sort of cultural epicenter for the city. It's where not only you want to see a show, it's where performers want to play. So it's really from both sides of the pews, I like to say. But those early years, there was everyone from Houdini has been on stage here to Charlie Chaplin, Katharine Hepburn, at one point even, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Helen Keller and Anne Sullivan.
Wow, incredible.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And there's been politicians and presentations about early explorations in Antarctica, and everything you can think of has happened in this building in those early years, sort of very formative. And then we get to 1943, which is when the Grand Ole Opry came in to be.
That's incredible, right in the midst of World War II. And then grew where it became nationwide in the sense from on the radio waves. Tell us about that.
Yeah. The Grand Ole Opry came here in 1943, and a lot of people think of this as the original home of the Opry, but it's not, actually. It's the fifth home of the Opry, its most famous former home. But they came in 1943 for all those Saturday nights. They booked up so they could broadcast from here. And if you think about those early years, you had Hank Williams, Little Jimmy Dickens, Minnie Pearl, Roy Acuff. And then moving on a little bit in time, you got Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton and Johnny Cash. And Patsy Cline was inducted into the Opry here. So really, really incredible years.
And that really was what etched the Grand Ole Opry and the Ryman and Nashville into the minds of people across America.
Definitely, and I think it brought all those artists as well to a national forefront because they were on the radio every Saturday night. There they were. And it brought this building to a national platform, and the radio show expanded as well.
And then, like so many things that are old and surviving through the 20th century, This place eventually closed. What happened?
Yeah, in 1974, the Opry, as it continued to grow, and it does today, it's an incredible show that still is going, they needed a bigger location, so they moved to what we now call the new Grand Ole Opry House, even though now they've been there longer than they were here. And this building went dark for about 20 years. It really... It sat nearly empty. There were some semblance of daytime tours, nothing like what you see now. Intermittent shows would happen, but there was a very good possibility at the time that the Ryman would not survive.
There was a groundswell of support, and as I understand from the myth and legend, it was one female musician who decided to record live here, and that propelled things. Tell us that story.
Definitely. That definitely helped what was going on. It was Emmylou Harris in 1991 recorded her famous record, Live at the Ryman.
Should go astray back in the years with all together around the place we'd romp and play so lonely now.
That, along with, you know, there was also a groundswell to make this a National Historic Landmark and all these things, but Emmylou, you know, really rallied artists together to bring that to the forefront.
So and if that one musician, if she had not decided and really wanted to perform live bad here, the history might be very different, Drew.
Yeah, it could be a very different situation.
So she did, she came, and everybody rallied, and what happened? How did it get saved?
God bless her. She was, I mean, really a pivotal moment there. And at that, around that time, Gaylord came in. Gaylord, who owns Gaylord Opryland, Gaylord came in and invested about $8 million to refurbish the outside of the building, modernize a lot of things. This wall that's right here behind us wasn't here. There were no real backstage facilities. There was no catering room. There was no production office. There were no elevators back there. There was no air conditioning. So they really brought this building into the time that it needed to be while keeping all the historic features. These pews we're sitting in have been here since 1892.
Amazing. So those who've gone before us, we can almost touch them.
Yeah. Can you imagine who has sat in these pews? And we hear lots of stories. You know, Reba will tell a great story about how she came here before she started her career, and she sat up in the balcony and watched a show. And Johnny Cash came here on a high school trip, and that's when he first laid his eyes on June, and he was sitting right upstairs watching the Opry. So, I mean, it's on both sides of the pews. It's very exciting.
That is so cool. So today, what happens? What sort of performances? And does the Grand Ole Opry ever come back for a special show?
Yeah, the Grand Ole Opry comes back in the winter. They also come back for a limited run of shows called Opry Country Classics. But they come back in the winter and do their shows here. It usually starts in November. It'll go through January. We call it Opry at the Ryman. It's fantastic. But beyond that, we still do 200 concerts a year. We also operate a daytime tour. So hundreds of thousands of people come through on the daytime tour, so as a pilgrimage to see this iconic place, and an equal number come at night to see concerts every year.
Give us an example of some of the live performances that showcase here.
We have everything. So the other night we had Steven Tyler made his headlining Ryman debut. We also had a Guy Clark celebration that Emmylou was on, and Rodney Crowell, and just a whole cast of artists. We've got a comedian appearing. We've also got Toto coming. We have all kinds. I mean, anyone you can think of has probably played here, or we hope they will soon.
That's so cool. For further information,
Ryman.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at the Ryman, and that's me behind the tweet, so send us a tweet.
Awesome. I'll tweet you back.
Thank you.
Lisa Ann DuPont, it's been a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture, and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolff, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.